established symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hello and welcome back to another fun edition of X-Ray with Dr. Tom. Dr. Tom, how are you this week?
Paul, I'm doing great this week. And I got to tell you, I am really excited for the match we're about to watch because these have to be two of the most famous professional wrestlers of all time.
No, you're right. They got to be right up there. Randy Macho Man Savage versus Bret the Hitman Hart. This is the earlier days. This is 1987 from Saturday night's main event. And Dr. Tom, we're going to jump into it this week. If you're ready to go, let's get this party started. Are you good?
I think I'm more than ready, man. This is something I really look forward to.
All right. Well, here we go. Let's just get it going. And there is the lovely Miss Elizabeth.
One thing that made Randy Savage stand out so much during this time, especially, were the robes, the capes, the outfits he wore, not to mention Miss Elizabeth by his side. But also, Randy Savage was a guy who, for years in wrestling, couldn't get booked to save his life. He wrestled in a small town in Kentucky with his family, his dad, Angelo Poffo, Lanny Poffo, his brother. And they were tremendous workers, tremendous wrestlers. But a lot of the conflicts in the early days of professional wrestling followed these guys, and they wound up in a small place doing great business or doing decent business. Let me say this. Finally wound up in the Memphis territory wrestling Jerry Lawler and Bill Dundee, and the people knew there was a real rivalry there. And Randy turned into one of the greatest wrestlers ever. Right now you see a guy, Brian Bosworth, who was pretty colorful in the NFL. And you had a lot of celebrities coming around at this time, looking at wrestling and wanting to be a part of it. Honky Tonk Man, again, was another one of those icons that stood out because he was who he was. And Wayne Ferris was the man behind the Honky Tonk Man, but if you knew Wayne, you knew that was him. This match, again, led up with angles concerning Bret Hart and Randy Savage, but that was due to Savage. Savage wanted to wrestle Bret, and Bret was already in a tag team, the Hart Foundation, but everyone in WWF at that time knew Bret Hart had talent and knew that Bret was one of the guys everybody wanted to get in the ring with. And Savage was looking around, always scouting young talent, and wanted to get in the ring, see what kind of magic he and Bret could make. So this was a classic Randy Macho Man Savage match, and Bret stuck right up to the plate and didn't disappoint anybody. There's a lot of ins and outs in this match, and I have to think that both Savage and Bret came up with a lot of these ideas. And real quick, let me just mention, Randy was infamous or famous, whatever you want to look at it, for making sure everything in his match was lined up, if you will. And a lot of times guys would call it in the ring, and a lot of this may have been called in the ring, but I have a feeling that Randy got with Bret and went over it meticulously before they stepped in there.
You know, you say that, Dr. Tom, and I have to ask, because sometimes there's controversy over that point. Cause nowadays, you know, you'll hear older guys say these young guys, they have to have everything scripted out. They got to talk behind the scenes before they go out there. And some of it is they're not working as many dates and nights together as they have in the past because of whatever, the pandemic or things like that. So some of that's there. But you think about a guy like Savage, one of the most famous matches he ever wrestled in against Steamboat was completely scripted and written down on paper. And so how can you necessarily fault that methodology when it comes to, well, we used to call it in the ring, you know, kind of.
Well, yeah. And I do believe Randy knows how to call it in the ring. No doubt in my mind, he knows how to call it in the ring. And so did Bret. But I think during this time period, especially, and watch the referee here, watch the force in which he puts Savage back. That's going to play into things a little bit later on. But the idea with all the pay-per-views, all the special events, this is actually a Saturday night main event. And Randy was a perfectionist, no doubt. He wanted to get everything right. And I don't know if it was trusting the guy he was in the ring with or just making sure everybody was on the same page at this time for Savage. What you saw in the ring with Randy Savage and what you heard on the promos was Randy Savage. He dressed the part when he would go out in public. He was the Macho Man 24/7. And once you get engulfed in that, just entrenched in who you are outside the ring as well as inside the ring, it's hard to break away. So I think part of it, a huge part of it, was Randy wanting to make sure the other guy understood the process and understood what moves were going to take place and where. I know Randy knew how to call in the ring. I have no doubt in my mind. He grew up in a wrestling family, and that's really the way to do it. But during spots like these and matches like these, Randy wanted to make sure nothing was left to chance, and understandably so. But he still felt it. He understood if the audience wasn't buying what he was selling. I truly know in my heart that Randy knew how to switch gears and move to something else. And a guy like Bret Hart, I wrestled Bret a couple times, and each time we went out, we only knew what was going to happen at the end, and that was it. So Bret knew how to go on feeling and timing and things like that too. So it's a different period, different time frame, no doubt. But these guys were stars, and Bret was emerging as a shining star. Savage wanted to get in the ring with him. A lot of times, look, we got into wrestling because we loved it. And working with guys like Bret and Savage, that's what made you love it, because you understood the feeling. You understood what we were going for. And so these guys wanted to work with each other, and Randy was giving Bret the rub by getting in the ring with him, especially on a big match like this.
So you mentioned that you worked with Bret Hart before in the ring. Did you ever work with Randy before?
Yeah, I did a tag match with Randy in St. Louis, actually. And it was Randy, Eddie Mansfield and Buddy Landell against myself, Tiger Conway Jr. and Chavo Guerrero Sr. Not Junior, Chavo Guerrero Sr. in St. Louis for Larry Madison. And Randy was great. Randy was a pro. Randy, at that time, actually was the world champion in Lexington, Kentucky. You know, hey, I'm a world champion. Where does it rain? Where does it go to? From Lexington to Bowling Green. So there you go.
Yeah.
But Randy was a great worker back then. It was just one of those things where you learn along the way that not everybody's going to get along, and it's business, but that happens everywhere you go. And once Randy got reinstated back into the community, I guess, I don't want to use the term blackball, but Randy couldn't get booked outside of his own territory for a while. And once he got back in and started doing business in Memphis, that's what really got him noticed by WWE. So, I think that it helped everybody in the end, because you always remember the colorful personas, the colorful characters like a Randy Macho Man, no doubt.
It's interesting, as you talked at the beginning, like you said, Savage was always looking for young talent, and in the research, Savage requested this match. He wanted to work with Bret, and you can already see he was a tag team wrestler at this point, but you can tell there was something brewing with him. He definitely had skills, and this match, look, fans are on their feet, Dr. Tom. That missed elbow drop there, and this is an exciting one. Everything Bret does is believable, but this would be his first high-profile singles match in the WWF up to this point.
The Hart Foundation was a great tag team, no doubt about it. With Jimmy Hart by their side, it added to the color and the flavor of both guys, Jim Neidhart and Bret Hart. But you're right. This is a high-profile match for Bret. And I don't want to say this is the match that got things rolling for him necessarily, but Bret was on a roll. And did anybody really believe Bret was going to become the star he was? Now, watch what just happened.
Yes.
Savage took a bump over the top rope after manhandling the referee for a second time. But this is a huge element and huge part of the match because Randy has now hurt his ankle, and he's going to need some assistance from Elizabeth to help this match go further. So Randy had ideas. Brett had ideas. When you have a tag team, especially as talented as the Hart Foundation, one guy usually is going to shine through in a tag team, and he's going to become the star. I don't know why it happens like that, but usually that's the mechanism that takes place. You have two great workers, two guys that know how to do their job in the ring and tell stories, but one guy is going to be a little more of a star than the other and have that power, that star power. Neidhart was good. Jimmy Hart was a great manager, no doubt. But Bret Hart was the guy who really stood out and shined. And Savage wanted to give him the rub. That was the way we did things back then. That's the way they did things back then, no doubt.
There was nobody better than the WWF at creating drama, especially on these Saturday night's main events, heading into commercials. You and I, a few weeks ago, watched the Orndorff Hogan coming down off the cage. Now it's the bump over the top rope, the ankle. Miss Elizabeth unties the boot. The boot is off. And here we go, into the commercial break. What's going to happen to Macho Man? They're taking his boot off.
Well, I got to tell you, yeah, I got knocked off the apron one night, and I broke my ankle. So this was actually a very real angle that's possible. The only thing that kind of threw me off was taking off the boot, but I get why they did it. They're telling the story. Randy now has one boot off, and Brett's going to work over that injured ankle. So storytelling was very prevalent back then, especially on a Saturday night main event, because you had a lot of casual fans watching, obviously, who would see these colorful characters and say, oh my gosh, what is this? This has got to be great. So this was the key element, telling a story. Savage went over the top rope, took a great backdrop, protected himself on the way down, but finally took off the boot, and Brett's going after that injured limb. It makes perfect sense. Even if you're not sure what you're watching, you had the commentators telling the story back then. You had Jesse Ventura and Vince McMahon telling you Savage is in dire straits. Savage could be beat anytime, and Bret Hart is really coming on strong as a singles wrestler. So, yeah, I got to give it to WWE for their storytelling process, their storytelling abilities, especially with two strong personalities like Bret and Savage. It's going to come. There's no denying which foot is hurt. He's got one boot on, one boot off. And you're right. Storytelling is key here, and nobody was better back then.
Corey Perna writes in, and we were just talking about this. Obviously, you worked with both of them here or there. Who was stiffer in the ring, Macho or Bret?
I got to tell you, Randy was not that stiff. And I think our levels of when we say, hey, you're stiff, loosen up, I think everybody has a different level of that. But I wasn't one of those guys who would there's a difference between stiff and solid. Let me say this. Stiff is hit. You're hitting somebody in the wrong place, and it hurts. Solid, you're going to feel it. You have to lay it in. It's a physical sport. This is contact. Are we taking care of each other? Certainly. But you're still going to have contact. You still have to know what's coming. And Randy was a pro. Brett was a pro. I was never stiff. Brett never hurt me. Randy never hurt me. But these guys understood. When you go in the ring, if you're careless, reckless, and hurt somebody, that's not the reputation you want. That's not the reputation these guys had. They might have been pretty solid along the way. And depending on the matches they were in. Here's a good roll-up, too, by the way. My gosh, how does that happen? A quick roll-up in professional wrestling. I mean, a small package. That doesn't happen too often today. But it was the shock value. It was Bret in control, and all of a sudden Randy comes up with a win. move out of the way. The heels get foiled. But these guys work so well together. They knew what was going to get the reaction. They understood psychology. They understood you give the people the drama and you surprise everybody. The unpredictability was pretty much prevalent, very prevalent back then. So the story with Elizabeth, Randy, against all odds, comes out the winner.
Listen, they were selling this ankle big time. Ventura at the end of this broadcast is saying, this may be the last match we ever see Macho Man. The last match of his career here in 1987 just occurred. They were all in on this one.
Yeah. And that's the great storytelling by the commentators. Great storytelling by the fans. They're showing the fans enjoying.
Yeah, the Seattle Seahawks are there. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, this is what was advertising back then. You would show a match on TV and you'd show the excitement. And you would show the glitz, the glamour, the lights, the action. And people would say, man, I want to see that live. I want to come out. I want to be a part of it and yell and scream, bring my signs and have fun. And back then, again, you had the colorful characters. They were larger than life. If you saw Randy Savage in the airport, he was Savage. He knew how to be that guy to people. And Brett was the same way. And Brett, to this day, I believe, is the same way. He's a class act. Understands that when you're in front of people like that, you're going to have fans. And you've always heard about fans say, don't meet your heroes, you'll be disappointed. But I don't think anybody was ever disappointed when they met Bret Hart. And Savage was the same way. He understood, you're Randy Savage, you're the Macho Man. And if you're out in public, you better be Randy Savage, the Macho Man, if somebody introduces themselves. That's what it was, and that's what I think it still should be.
Well, Dr. Tom, I enjoyed watching this one with you, but we got a couple questions from our listeners, so we'll jump into those next. Corey Perna also asked, hi, Dr. Tom, were you ever stretched by Angelo Poffo or Stu Hart, either in the ring or behind the scenes?
Thank God, no. No, I met Angelo years ago, and I met Stu many years ago, but never did I let him, when he said, come here, kid, let me show you something. No, never was stretched by Stu or Angelo. Thank God.
All right. He survived that. Never happened. Lenny Botkin's back, and he says, when Hart wrestled Savage, Tom's brother Bruce was only 6 months into working for the WWF. Was Tom in contact with Bruce much at this time? And if so, does he have any memories on how Bruce was feeling about the move to New York and working for Vince?
Yeah, but I was in contact with Bruce, obviously. And what a lot of people don't understand, especially during that time period, there were still some territories out there. And I was in 89, I guess, gosh, trying to think, Portland or around Memphis, wherever it was, might have been Alabama even. You know, we were doing our own thing. A lot of us, when you're on the road every night, there were no cell phones back then. So I wasn't really able to check the temperature all the time on Bruce. But once again, WWE, anybody who works for WWE or has worked for WWE can tell you, those guys work their ass off day and night. It's not a 9-to-5 job by any stretch of the imagination. But WWE was working hard on getting shows like this out on Saturday night's main event, or doing the WrestleManias, or doing the pay-per-views early on. Yes, but they didn't really have a lot of time to just talk. Just get on the phone and say, hey, how you doing? No, it's a lot of business up there. So we were in contact, but no, I was doing my thing and probably in Alabama in 89.
And this one was 87 too. So this would have been just maybe a few years earlier. So
I went to Alabama in 87. So
there you go.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, listen, that's good stuff. You know, whenever we get into these classics, we got to watch Orndorff and Hogan from this classic WWF era. And now back here with Macho Man Bret Hart. I love mixing it up a little bit with some of these classic WWF matches, Dr. Tom. So what is your official diagnosis of this one that we got to watch together today?
You had two old school veterans. You had two guys who grew up in a wrestling family. You had two guys who understood the psychology. And I don't think you get any better than somebody like Bret Hart and Macho Man, especially for this time frame.
Well, listen, I tell you what, it doesn't get any better than those two in the ring. Two of the all-time best, Dr. Tom. And thank you guys on ad-free shows for your submissions. This was a good one. Dr. Tom, I'm going to turn it over to you to tell them about your shirts, your academy, and all the good stuff, how they can help you out.
If you're looking for a wrestling school, especially in the South, Knoxville, Tennessee is one of the greatest cities to live in. There's a lot of things to see in Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, the Smoky Mountains. It's incredible, man. Check out jpwrestlingacademy.com. It'll tell everything on the front page, from our schedule to our t-shirts, and even about x-ray. We have an x-ray spot on the front page of jpwrestlingacademy.com. And you can check out our t-shirts at prowrestlingtees.com. They do a great job for us as well.
Well, there we go. Dr. Tom, it's been my privilege to be with you. Next week, we're coming back, and we got a classic WCW match from Halloween Havoc. We're going Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero. And that's going to be a fun one for us to check out together.
Yeah, this is going to be a great one, too. And Eddie, who's been gone for years now, incredible. His matches are timeless, and Ray is still going strong. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for us this week. Thank you so much for joining us. On behalf of Dr. Tom Pritchard, this is Paul Bromwell. We'll see you again next week on X-Ray with Dr. Tom.